Pray for our agents down at the border. I just I heard that they're blowing up some less lethal weapons and gas and things like that as we speak, starting at 11:30 in the morning today. So I don't know if it's settled down a little bit, but we're so close to it. Pray for them that none of our agents or that nobody would get hurt, but the stubbornness sometimes of mankind is Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Pray that the California Border Patrol and the Army National Guard will be able to withhold them and none of them will get hurt. I think they're shutting down the northbound and southbound freeways, the 5, down to the Tijuana border. So if you're thinking about Cyber Monday shopping at that mall, the strip mall down off the 5, think again. You may get stuck there, okay, with the traffic and people that are trying to leave the country or trying to get inside the country. So I would even go out to say that get some supplies, right? You never know. We are so close to the border. Okay. Romans chapter 9. Let's just let's go with verse 31. I want to skip ahead. I want to look at an overview of the following three chapters: Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. I'll give you a quick overview of this chapters for tonight. Take a look at verse 31 of Romans chapter 9. The Bible says, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness." Yeah, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you help us to study your word once again. We want to lift up to you our Border Patrol agents, even the private contractors like Brother David Kimba and the Army National Guard and the ones that are working down south, that you keep them safe, you watch over them, and you be with our president as he deals with this challenging time of his leadership, that you be with him, you empower him, you help him, you guide him with your Holy Spirit to decide on matters that are way beyond our understanding as ordinary citizens of this country. Give wisdom to those that are in authority. Give wisdom to those that are in power, that they may be able to decide what is right. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Romans chapter 9, 10 and 11. The focus is the nation of Israel. The reason why I know that is because because of the terms that are used in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 pertains to Israel. So let me take a quick overview. Look at what chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. Paul says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ." He says, "For my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." He's not talking about his fellow Christians. He's talking about his fellow Israelites. He says, "My kinsmen according to the flesh." Verse 4, "Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises." Remember, the nation of Israel is a chosen nation. They're a chosen nation. Paul said, to whom they were given the adoption, they were given the glory, they were given the covenants, they were given the law, they were given into the service of God, and they were given the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came? It is through the nation of Israel that the Messiah was born. I'll slide down to a couple more verses here. So chapter 9 is dealing with the nation of Israel. I'll slide down to verse... look at the examples that he gives. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, he says, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall they seed be called." Verse 10, "And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac." So the context is the Jews, Israel. Slide down to verse 27. Now let's go to verse 26. Verse 25, sorry. Look at verse 25. "As he saith also in OC," that's Hosea, "I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." He quotes Isaiah. He says, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. In verse 29, "And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and Gomorrah." Verse 31, the verse that we read, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness." About verse chapter 10. So the entire context of chapter 9 of Romans, by means of an overview, is dealing with the nation of Israel. What about chapter 10? Chapter 10, look at verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for" who? "For Israel, is that they might be saved." What's the problem with them? "Well, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Remember when we were go back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. Just to remind you, the problem with the Jew, remember that message on that I preach about, on the problem with the Jew? The problem with the Jew is this. Well, in chapter 10, it says, yeah, they have the zeal of God. They have the knowledge of God. They have they were given the service of God, but it's not according to knowledge. In chapter 3, we've dealt with another problem with the Jew. In chapter 3, verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Well, they're... profit was that were given the oracles of God, but that was taken away from them. Remember, the responsibility to keep the word, the oracles of God, the word of God was taken away from them. It was given to them, but was taken away from them. Why? Because they did not believe it. Okay? Which is a good warning for every preacher today who is entrusted to preach the word of God. The moment a preacher sees us to believe in the word of God, be careful. God can verily just take away your access to the word of God. If God entrusted you with something in a spiritual note, God entrusted you with something, be a good steward of it. Because if you are not a good steward of the things that God has entrusted you with, God can verily say, you know what? Not a good steward. Let me take that back from you. You remember the parable of the talents? One man was given 10 talents. And what did he do with the talents? He used them. And God gave him more. Another man came with given 5 talents. He used the 5 talents that God has given him. And God gave him more. Then came that one man that was only given 1 talent. He hid it. Hidden it underneath the earth. Why? For what purpose? He said, well, I don't want to be accountable for my talent that was entrusted me. I'm going to hide it underneath the earth. The master returns furious. Why? He did not take care and use the things that God has entrusted him with. Amen? Amen. So, one of the things for our church too, we have... God has blessed Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. We are probably one of the very, I don't know of a lot of churches that don't have a loan. I don't know of any church that exists today that does not owe money to a mortgage company or to, okay? So God has entrusted us with a place that is fully paid. What do we do with it? Do we neglect it? Do we neglect the fact that God has given us a church? No, we got to take care of this place. Amen? Now, what we can do is, what we cannot do, what we should not do is, you know, let's take care of this place and let's make sure that nobody comes into our church, just us. Right? It's no different from hiding the treasure underneath the field. God gave us something for us to use it. Right? Use it and multiply it. Right? What is it that God has entrusted you with? I know we have some money in the bank account, in our account. That's good to have that. Well, let me tell you this. It's good to have that, but it's bad to hold on to that. You know what's going to happen? All it is a target for people that are looking for a church to sue. Let's use it for God's work. Let's use it for God's glory. Amen? Our church is going to need an expansion for the kids' classroom. Let's use it. You can keep it there. For what? What if Jesus Christ comes next year? What are you going to do with that talent that God has entrusted you with? Amen? I tell you, if there's a need in the church, God has provided. Yeah, people have made a sacrifice in the past few years. And the worst thing you can do to it is to hold on to it. Amen? Let's use it. Use it for God's glory. Amen? Let's move on. The nation of Israel. Chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Let's take a look at a couple more verses. So when you get to chapter 10, and you're dealing with the Romans' road to salvation, know that the context of Romans chapter 10 deals with the nation of Israel. Okay? Look at the verse. When verse 14, 15 say, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? He's talking to the Jews who have not called on him, who have not believed in him. that they too are not exempted. They too must be saved. Verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Look at verse 19, Romans chapter 10, verse 19. I want you to see the context. We'll get to chapter 11. But I say, did not who? Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. That's the problem with the nation of Israel. Right? Another problem with the nation of Israel, they are disobedient. It's like they know the truth. They had access to the Word of God before we did. They had the prophets prophesy to them of the Messiah, and yet they are disobedient and they are gainsaying people. They care about how they could gain. How about chapter 11? Chapter 11. I say then, had God cast away, what does that say? His people. His people, God forbid, for also I am an, what does that say? An Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. You see? Look at verse 7. Romans chapter 11, verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election. I want you to underline that word election. The word election is repeated over and over in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. And that word election is pertaining to the nation of Israel. Okay, not the hyper-dispensationalist definition of election. Not the people that have been chosen by God to be saved. The word election, in the context of Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, is referring to the nation of Israel. God's elect is the nation of Israel, first and foremost. Okay, so there we've dealt with the doctrine of hyper-dispensationalism, remember? Remember one of the things that they said is this unconditional election, that God had chosen some to be saved and God had chosen some not to be saved. And that if you're elected to salvation, there's nothing you can do about it. And if you're not elected to salvation, there's nothing you can do about it. Completely out of context. Because Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 is about the nation of Israel. Israel is God's elect. God's elect. Look at verse 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Look at verse 25 to wrap up this overview of Romans chapter 9, 10, 11. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that what? That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Okay, let me get my whiteboard and I'll explain to you. And we'll break it down now. So the nation of Israel, they were spread abroad. They were not local in Judea and Samaria. The nation of Israel, especially during the Roman period, because of the Romanization of the world, the Jews were scattered abroad. Now, when the apostles were going around preaching the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God, their primary target of witnessing were the Jews. Okay, the apostles were going out. Their main goal is to make sure that every Jew, every Israelite that's scattered abroad, get them saved. They got to get saved. Why? Because salvation belongs to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. But here's what they came across. Here's what they did. Okay? I'm talking about the Jews' rejection. Go to Acts chapter 13, verse 46. The Jews were scattered in three different areas. They were scattered in Asia Minor. They were scattered in Greece. But obviously, they were scattered everywhere the Roman Empire had a dominion or had a free course.
Acts chapter 13, verse 46. There were Jews in Asia Minor that needed to get saved. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. This is Paul and Barnabas. So let's start with verse 42. So Paul preaches to Antioch. In verse 42, it says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up," the setting here is there were synagogues that were established back then for under Judaism. Okay, the religion of the Jews is Judaism. Their worship, their synagogue, even today, if you go to they're heavily located in LA. Okay, in Los Angeles, there are a lot of Jews. So every location you will find a Jewish synagogue. Okay, that's a continuation of what they've been practicing from the time of Jesus Christ. By the time Jesus Christ was born, there were Jewish synagogues. And they would meet in the synagogues and they would open the Old Testament, which they believed to be the Word of God. They would open the, just like what Jesus Christ did when he was invited to come and speak I think it was Luke. He was invited to open, he opened the book to Isaiah, remember? He opened the book of Isaiah and he read something about himself. Remember? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he had anointed me to bring glad tidings." Remember? That's what's going on. That's what's going on there. Where back then, the Jews would meet inside the synagogues, so the apostles would go, because they were Jewish too. They were Jewish too. So the apostles would go inside these synagogues as Jews, and in those synagogues, they would begin to preach and witness to them Jesus Christ, right? But this is modern time, modern in terms of compared with the Old Testament. This is AD time, okay, the apostolic period. During that time, the apostles would go inside the synagogues and would teach the doctrine of Christ, that Jesus Christ came and he is God and he died for your sin. They began to preach to them. But inside that synagogue were Jews and Gentiles combined. Remember, there are three groups of people. There's the Jews. There are the Gentiles. And then one thing that you may have never heard of before is a proselyte. A proselyte is someone who is a Gentile, but converted to Judaism. Okay? So that's what a proselyte is. You're either a Jew, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. A proselyte is somebody who converted to Judaism. So when the apostles would come inside the synagogues and began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ,
congregation. There were Jews and there were Gentiles who converted to Judaism. They're called proselytes. Let's notice the reception of the native Jews compared with the proselytes. Look at verse 43. Look at verse 43 of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, that's the Jewish synagogue congregation was broken up, many of them, who was there? Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. You see? And this is in Asia Minor. Okay, Asia Minor, Antioch. Okay, Syria. And the next Sabbath, they came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Here's another problem. So some of the Jews got saved. But when the Jews saw, here's another problem with the Jews. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So here's what's going on. The apostles would go inside a synagogue, and inside a synagogue were Jews and Jewish proselytes. The apostles would go inside a synagogue and preach the gospel. Some of the Jews got saved and some of the proselytes got saved. And they began to attract the crowd, and people were, when they hear the gospel, I mean, the gospel is amazing. The fact that you do not have to work for your salvation, that's a new concept. For they've been taught all along, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do the ceremonial law, you have to do all kinds of things in order for you to even come close to any form of righteousness. So when they hear the gospel, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, they're like, what? I don't have to do any of these things? I just have to believe in Jesus Christ? Guess what? The word was spread abroad. And the Bible says that an entire city was attracted into the synagogues everywhere Paul and Barnabas went. And so as the crowds begin to come in to hear this so-called new doctrine, as the crowds begin to come in, the Jews who were the in charge of the synagogues, they began to be envious. They said, whoa, what's going on here? Wait a minute. You're taking our members, right? That sounds familiar, huh? Hey, you're taking our members. You can't be doing that. Who's going to pay for my salary? No, really, that's what it comes down to. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Every church leader that controls his church member from going into a place, never mind the fact that that's where they're probably going to grow, never mind the fact that that's where they're going to be fed by the word of God, every religious leader who lives off the membership will prevent or hinder you from going away from his church. That's what's going on here. Are you with me? Amen? That's what's going on here. So the Jews, when they saw the multitudes, instead of having compassion on them, just like Jesus Christ said. Remember? When Jesus Christ saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were envious. Exactly different. Exact opposite reactions, right? When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and they began to speak against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Amen? That's a problem. People hear about Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church and say, well, I heard that Pastor George doesn't even believe in this. Why would you go there? I hear that the members of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, they wear pants. Ladies are not supposed to wear pants. I hear that Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church does not believe in whatever it may be. You understand where I'm coming from? What is that? Envy. Jealousy. Why? Because they're not happy where they're at. Amen. Amen? They see the spirit by Sister Faith's postings of Instagram and Facebook, and they see the spirit of Chula Vista Bog Baptist Church, and this is a happy place. Amen? This is a loving place. This is a, to me, it's the happiest place on earth. Amen? But when people see that, they say, I don't like what's going on there. I'm going to say all kinds of bad things about that place. That was not part of my outline. Okay, I'm just... It's right there. It's right there in the text. Pastor Blars doesn't wear a necktie sometimes when he preaches. What? What does that have to do with your spirituality? Amen? Anyway, let's continue on. I'm getting distracted now. Asia Minor. The Jews that were in Asia Minor, some of them got saved. But majority of them, they became envious that instead of believing what the Apostle Paul was preaching about, let's continue, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. It was necessary that, remember the preaching from this morning? What takes the preeminence? What should take the preeminence in every church? Jesus Christ. And how is that accomplished? By the Word of God. It was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it off from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, the problem with the Jews, because of that attitude, that envious attitude, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So the Christians in Asia Minor, by the way, Asia Minor eventually just simply became known as Asia. So the Jews in Asia, some got saved. Okay. Chapter 18 of Acts. Acts chapter 18. The second place, the next place where they went into is Greece. Acts chapter 18, verse 6. Acts chapter 18. You gotta love the Word of God. It deals with things that that are current. Amen. Paul makes stands at Corinth at this time. Look at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. That's Greece. Okay? And found a certain who was in Greece. Jew, but named Aquila and Priscilla, his wife. They were come from Sister Connie's place. There were Italian Jews, right? With his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. There were an exodus. They were kicked out. The Jews were kicked out of Rome, and so some of them ended up in Italy, some of them ended up in Greece. And because he was of the same craft, this is Paul, he abode with them and wrought for by their... Paul had an occupation. They were tent makers. In modern times, that's a realtor, right? Or an engineer, a building structural engineer. Imagine him, the Apostle Paul, the chief of the apostles, going around as a missionary, working, providing for himself and providing for those that cannot provide.
And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was present in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That has always been the gospel of Christianity. That Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That he is God. And when they oppose themselves, Paul says, what does that say, oppose themselves? Because the Jews, when they do not believe in Jesus Christ, they are opposing themselves. Because salvation is to the Jews first. And blasphemed. He shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon you, your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Okay? So the apostles go into this, into Greece. And to reach out the Jews there, some of them believe, such as Priscilla and Aquila, the husband and wife. But many of them, they went in opposition because of envy. Now, Greece is modern Europe. Okay? Greece is modern Europe. The Jews that were in Greece, some of them got saved, some of them did not. So some got saved. Because of their rejection, the only place left for the apostles to go into is the rest of the world. Rome. Go to Romans chapter, Acts chapter 28, go to Acts chapter 28, verse 11. Acts chapter 28, verse 11. After 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria. That's Alexandria, Egypt. Which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. And we came the next to it seems like they were just, wherever the ship would take them, that's where they went, right? The wind's blowing this way, let's go there, right? Lord, where do you want us to go? Where's the wind blowing right now? It's going to this one island right here. Well, let's go there. Let's have the wind blow us there. Now, how many of you believe that God is in control of nature? You think God is in control? My brother preached a good message on Isaiah. Go to Isaiah. God is the God of nature. Isaiah chapter 40. Let me share this one truth that I discovered with you. Isaiah chapter 40. And if there's any mathematician in the room, I think you're going to appreciate this. Watch this. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. I want you to imagine the majesty of God for a second. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? You understand what the oceans is to God? I'll show you. Here's what God did when he was creating the earth and the universe. When I drive down the 5 freeway every morning, or every time I come from LA, I always look at the Pacific Ocean. I think it's huge. My imagination is playing sometimes. I imagine, what if a tidal wave comes while I'm driving down the freeway? It takes about 30 minutes, sometimes an hour, to get from the last exit, Avenida Pico, to the next exit on Carlsbad. There's no exit. On your right side is the Pacific Ocean. There's a couple of rest areas. That ocean is huge. With my silly imagination, sometimes I start thinking, what if a tidal wave hits while I'm still here? There's nowhere to go. There's mountains on my left. There's an ocean on my right. The vastness of the ocean. Here's what God said. When I created the heavens and the earth, you know that Pacific Ocean that you consider so vast? I measured it in my hand. Right there. It's the Pacific Ocean in the hand of God. And he knows exactly how much water there is in there. That's what the Bible says. How much water, how great are the oceans according to God? Compared with God, this much. That's the Pacific Ocean in the hand of God. And he knows exactly how much is contained in there. Let's go on.
When I look beyond the horizon, what separates that ocean from the sky is that horizon. But notice Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? And meted out. You know what the word meter is? What comes from? Meter. Meter, a measurement. And metered out, or meted out, heaven with the span. In other words, look up here. When I look at the horizon, you can't see the end and you can't see the beginning. Right? Well, guess what? God measured it. He said, okay, east to west. Another east to west. Another east to west. Okay, you get to see this part of my creation. He knows the measurement. Think about that. And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. He comprehends the dust of the earth in a measure. He knows the periodic element, table of elements. Why? Because he's the one who created them. He knows how much iron weighs. He knows how much gold weighs. Why? He created them. Here's the next one. And weighed the mountains in scales. Can you picture it? God weighed the mountains in scales. If this is a mountain, Mount Ararat, Mount Everest, right? Okay, God says, this is Mount Ararat. It's about that tall. This is Mount Everest. That's pretty tall. That's how he looks at this universe. We're looking at the majesty of the mountains, and we're like, there's a Mayon volcano in our town in the Philippines. Mayon volcano is like a perfect cone. Used to be a perfect cone. But when I stood underneath that mountain, that volcano when I was a kid, that mountain looked huge. But God says, no, I measure it. It's about that tall. I'm going to measure this next mountain. It's about that tall. And the hills in a balance. I was trying to think about that. God cares about the things that we don't think about. He's into the details. If you think about it, you look at the earth, right? North Pole, South Pole. Is it possible for God to put all of the mountains on one side and make the world uneven? Is it possible? Yeah. Could God have put all the mountains up north and kept all the seas down below? Absolutely. But God, the Bible's Isaiah says, no, he kept them all in a balance. That's our God. Yeah, our God.
Amen? Think about that. God is concerned with balance. Have you ever listened to your heart? Listen to your heart. Go like this. It's about, what is it? How many times does your heart beat? About 70 per minute. In a rhythm. Right? Yes or no? Your heart better has a rhythm. If it doesn't have a rhythm, you have what's called arrhythmia. Okay? You're going to drop in a heart attack. But think about that. God created a rhythm inside of you. How about your breathing? How often do you breathe a minute? About 12 to 20, depending on how young you are. You never have to think about it, do you? That's one. That's two. But you don't think about it. But there's a rhythm. God is into the details. Right? Amen. Amen. So, let's go back to Rome. I just wanted to share that with you. I'm amazed by the word of God. That's why. Now, Rome, after they had gone to Greece and tried to reach some of the Jews, only some got saved. They finally go out into the rest of the world that's accessible to the Roman world. And so, Rome, the Romans, represents the modern world. Because it was Rome that brought about the roads and the shipping routes and things like that. They opened up the doors. So in Romans chapter, Acts chapter 28, verse 28, that's where we were before I lost my train of thought. So now he goes to everywhere. They go to everywhere where Rome had some kind of dominion. Verse 14. Where we found, what does that say? Brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Forum and the three taverns. When Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the, who was there in Rome, chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. Problem with the Jews, verse 19. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Verse 22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest for us concerning this. Notice the characteristic of the early Christian church. Okay? Look at verse 22. How you know you are in the right denomination of Christianity. The characteristic of a Bible-believing church, look at verse 22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere, what does that say? It is spoken against.
Verse 24. Let's look at verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. Once again, the Apostle Paul attracted people who were hungry for truth, who were hungry for salvation, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning, what was the message of Paul? Jesus. Both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. You realize that? When Paul was dealing with the Jews, every time he preached, he always had to go back to the Old Testament and explain the Old Testament to them and how it is pointing to Jesus Christ. That is why I preach from the Old Testament in the main service, and then I make the applications to Allah to help you to connect it to the New Testament, which is for us, because that is how the Apostle Paul preached. Look at verse 24. And some believe the things which were spoken, and some, look at Acts 28, verse 24, some believe not. Okay? Only some got saved. Okay? Now has God then, since only some of the Jews got saved, has God then replaced the nation of Israel with the church? Has God replaced the nation of Israel with the church? Go to Romans chapter 11, verse 25. As we come to close in this lesson, look at verse 25. There is a dangerous doctrine. It's called, I'll write it down for you. It's called replacement theology. Romans 11:25. Replacement theology. Romans 11:25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." What's that mystery? Lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Here's the mystery: that blindness in part is happened to Israel. That's a mystery. That's one of the seven mysteries in the Bible. How could God's people not see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? That's hard to understand because they had access to the oracles of God. But is God done with the nation of Israel? What does that say? Blindness in part, partially, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That means God's not done with Israel. There will come a time when there will be 144,000 Jews. Those are the only ones that will remain throughout the entire world. They will return to Jerusalem. They will return to Israel. They will get saved. These 144,000 Jews will then go out during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and they will be the ones that are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in the end. That's the nation of Israel. God's not done with them. By that time, we won't be here. Okay? So the way it works is God has put a pause, a temporary pause in his dealing with the nation of Israel. He still deals with them individually as individual people. But
But there will come a time when God will deal with the nation of Israel once again as a nation. Okay? Blindness in part happened to Israel. But when the fullness of time has come, the fullness of the Gentiles is when the entire Gentile world has heard of the gospel. When the entire Gentile world has heard of the gospel, there are still some tribes, you know, that have not heard of the gospel. There's some nomadic, you know, tribes out there that don't even wear clothes. Do you know that? There was a missionary, it was on the news. There was a young missionary. Did you see that one? Young missionary that surrendered to go into this, you know, tribe, and they shot him with an arrow, and then they found his body floating in the ocean, died of an arrow. Missionary. He died trying to reach that tribe. But you see, our missionaries are important. Okay? It's our job to keep sending them out. To keep sending them out. Well, now we have to be wise in who to send, right? We have to be wise in who to send. Because there's evil even inside the church. Even inside Christians, there's evil. There are people that take advantage of churches. Take advantage. A missionary is somebody who's out there, who's sent out by the churches. Not somebody who's here and just retired and using the funds of churches to help them survive and grow. That's not a missionary. If that's the case, then how are they different from any one of our church members that's in need? Right? Why won't we help our church members that are financially in need? Right? Amen. Amen. Pray for them. Pray for we have a list right here. We have a list of missionaries. I hope you keep one in your Bible. Pray for these missionaries that are out there. The Reinhardts, for example. I hope to meet all of them one day. So far we've met a few of them. We've met Cherry Williams in Taiwan. We've met the Reinhardts. We've met who else have you met? Yeah, we know Brother Higgins from Mexico. We've met the Brims in Brazil. The Mords, the Peter and Lorinda Mord with Dr. Lorraine in the Philippines. We've met them. The Taylors, that's right. The Williams. So it's good that they're coming, so we can know their work, that they actually exist. You know, they're actually there. Okay? But let's make sure they're really missionaries. Okay? Let's make sure, we have to make sure that they're really doing God's work and they're not on a retirement mode. Retirement mode, just waiting for that paycheck every month and just saying, oh, I'm a missionary. No. What could be more evil than that? For you to say that I'm a missionary, in reality, you're just out there in Hawaii. If that's the case, Chula Vista, would you please send me and my wife and the kids to Hawaii? We'd like to be missionaries to Hawaii, please. You say, Pastor, you're being funny. That's absurd. We know you're not called to Hawaii. But you see what I mean? Be careful. If you trusted me enough to be your pastor, trust my discretion. Amen? Amen? Trust my discretion. My job and our job is to protect the assets of this church, protect the future of this church, protect the people and then the giving that comes through this church. So, amen. There's some of these that I have not met and have not heard of. I sent an email
and there's no reply, and there's no Craig and Linda Throop, for example, they've been in the States since January. They're retired from the Papua New Guinea. They're no longer in Papua New Guinea. They're here now. They're back in their local church. And we're still supporting them. I guess it's okay if you want, if you want that to be a benevolent giving, that's different. But not a missionary. A missionary is someone who's out in the field. Debbie Lane returned to the U.S. in August 18, 2018. She's no longer in the field. She had turned over her work to a local pastor. Flora Mae Martin in Guatemala. The letter that she sent out was not her letter. It was a letter from another pastor. There was no mention of who she is or what's her involvement in the church. I'd like to know who she is. I'd like to know where our giving goes, because people will make sacrifices. Amen? Maisha Dean, I don't know who she is. She's in Ukraine, probably with Brother Minton. But no letter, no update on whether she's a part of a church or not. Have not heard from Andrew McClure in Patua. And so on and so forth. Amen? It's our responsibility. God has given us the fund. God has given us the people. God has given us the place to worship. Stewardship, right? Let us be good stewards of the things that God has entrusted us with. Amen? Any question about the nation of Israel? So replacement theology, God has not replaced the nation of Israel with the church. God is not done with the nation of Israel. There's much work to be done. I shared with you before, I know we're out of time. I shared with you before. I really believe, plugging in the time frame, I think I erased it, plugging in the time frame, that from now, 2018, to 2033, Jesus Christ died at the age of 33. If you subtract 7 years from that, of, let's just say, the tribulation period, which is 7 years, 2033 minus 7 years is 2026. Right? 2026. It's 2018 to 2026. We're pushing through the second coming. It could be now, or it could be 2026. That's barely 8 years from now. How many of you remember what happened 8 years ago? No, time goes by fast. But if Jesus Christ is coming between now and 2026, what should we be doing? What should you be doing as a Christian? What should we be doing as a church? Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. We'll continue our study. We're going to go through a book of Romans on a verse-by-verse aspect now. But I'm trying to speak to you in a manner that's very understandable, that is very clear, that is very simple. You know? If we are a church, and if you are a Christian, these things have to be real in your life. If it's not real in your life, if you don't really believe it, time will catch on eventually. But is Christianity real in your life? And what are you doing if He is coming soon? What are you doing if He is coming soon? Every head bowed, every eyes closed. If you need to come, the altar is open. As the piano plays, if you're not saved today, the altar is open. Maybe you're saved, but you have not taken Christianity seriously. There's work to be done. For tonight, Brother Romel, can you pray for Sister Jacinta, please, as you close us in prayer? If you could just lift up your voice and pray for Sister Jacinta. She's she has some, her cancer has spread into her brain. Sister Fran just told me that we're waiting for a phone call from Brother David. If she's okay with some of our ladies coming over there and visiting her, just pray. You know, for her and for Brother David Hannibal, even a phone call. Okay, so if you could just lift them up, lift her up in prayer, Brother Romel, and close us in just as soon as tonight, please.
Amen.